Instead of Rushing Towards the Skyline by An Effort, read by Katrina Swift.
Just because I'm losing doesn't mean I'm lost. Doesn't mean I'll stop. Doesn't mean I'm across.
Once you've saved the Earth twice over, there isn't much else to do but keep moving and moving fast. Martha's always been good at running, so she runs. Torchwood falls apart. Three dead and one elsewhere, MIA for extensive purposes, Gwen's left manning the place alone. They send in reinforcements, of course. They're all new to the field, eager to learn, naive as expected. No one's really in the mood to play mentor now. You'll be all right, she says, and even as the words settle onto her tongue, she wishes she hadn't said them at all. Gwen shrugs, smiles, kicks her head back into a nod, another, lacing back her grief in the process. Course. Be careful, you. You too. They leave things like this, short, polite, empty as can be. There's nothing left to give. It's fitting, really, in that sad way these things usually are. Outside, her feet slip and catch against the pavement. Above her, the sky looks like rain, like death. Her pace quickens as the clouds gather in closer. It's the unit's idea, which isn't exactly comforting, but her options are few and her patience dimming. Starfleet, what's that? Military brats in space? It's a joke, but no one's biting, and the chair she's sitting in pinches in the back, so for the moment, she's all ears. Don't be smart. They need a doctor. We thought you'd be interested. We thought you'd be a good fit. The lady in front of her, a desk between them, taps her pen between her fingers. Forgive us if we were mistaken. Truly. Her sigh is her white flag. The lady behind the desk smirks in kind. It's getting a little alarming, but for the most part, they're always right about her. She supposes that's why they have the jobs they have, an innate ability to know the weaknesses and the strengths of the people they recruit. To use that to their advantage, to their will, furthering their agendas and what have you. It's okay, though. She's using them, too. Manipulation is usually a two-way street. That much you can almost always count on. Humans and deception, two things that come in a trusty pair. Do you know what you're doing? Because if you don't, I don't want you taking up any space. This is her first day. Her first minute, really. Martha squares her shoulders, turning towards the voice, doubting her competence. I think I can manage, yes. Or would you rather we stand here and bicker some more? Personally, I'd like to get started, sir. The man in question grunts at that, and she takes that as an indication to get back to what she was doing. Stitches, in this case. The cadet waiting for her assistant holds his arm out. Martha moves for some gauze. Her fingers itch in her gloves. It's familiar, this. It's what she knows. She breathes. Works. Home, sweet home. Later. Kill anyone today? I knew I forgot to do something. Bones laughs. Martha notes it sounds a lot like his grunts. Just lighter. Easier. Reminds her of Owen a little. Her throat snags on the realization. She coughs to clear it, smears her smile back on, her tension sequestered in the present again. I take it you'll be here tomorrow. Correct. They nod as they part ways, their feet pointed towards opposite ends of the ship. Martha Jones 1, space 0. Most days are an exact repeat of the first, with certain variables changing at will. But most days are the same. The rest of the fleet puts their lives at risk for one noble reason or another, and the two of them, there are more, but mostly it's the two of them, taking what's left of the carnage and reassembling it into something that can pass for whole, or at the very least, resemble it. They have drinks once. Really, he was already drunk, and she was itching to get herself into the same state. Fact. Leonard McCoy isn't exactly a talkative drunk, but it beats the sober version by a mile. You have a daughter? Her voice has more surprise in it than he cares for, but it isn't anything new. McCoy nods. Martha reaches for her glass. The air sets into an easy enough silence. Not really uncomfortable, just there, so they leave it be. It isn't until he's on his fifth scotch that he returns the favor, asking the same questions she just asked him.
How did you get here? Surely it isn't the salary.
Her shoulders dip forward into a shrug.
Eh, it's not that bad. But no, it wasn't that. Needed a clean slate is all.
There's a nod to that, but McCoy frowns with it, the grimace holding to his face like the drink to his hand, too tightly.
No such thing, though, he says. Not for real.
His voice reeks of resignation, of defeat. It jars at her ears. Elbow to a rib that isn't hers, their knees knocked together, she physically attempts to shake his mind out of from wherever it wandered off to. Oi, keep that cynicism to yourself. Eyes rolled, he does just that, but it doesn't escape him, the fact that she didn't argue.
No, that didn't escape him at all.
Time does what time is prone to do. It passes and keeps on passing, the end something you have to work for to arrive at. Her contract comes to its premature end, and on the day of, she is quiet, the prospect of leaving not something she is at all inclined to do.